We are going to be kicking off, however, a new preaching series today. So if you have a Bible, if you use your device, why don't you turn to Acts 1. We're going to be in Acts 1. And so we prayed before the meeting, and I can't remember who it was. Someone said, I really love the book of Acts. It's great. Brilliant. We're going to be preaching on it. This is the first preaching series, I think, that I've experienced where I'm not entirely sure on the end point. If you understand what I mean, I don't know how long we're going to be going through this series for. We want to give it the credit that it's due and to really dig into this book. And so we could be preaching this for a year, for example, or even longer. So read it again, enjoy it, dive into it in your own time as well. It's a great book. I haven't introduced myself. My name is Johnny, and if you are new today, if it's the first time you've been to Grace Church, you are so welcome. If you wouldn't call Grace Church your home, then just want to welcome you and say it's good to have you with us this morning. And so as I mentioned, we're preaching Acts, and you might be like, okay, that's fine, wonderful. Why are we preaching this book? Why are we diving into the book of Acts? Well, firstly, it is full of rich, deep, beautiful truths about God, truths about his church, truths about us, some beautiful theology in there, which we will dive into and explore and enjoy. Also, as I mentioned, we are going to be having our meeting on Thursday. To come along to, and the book of Acts describes some of the acts of the early church which are encouraging for us during this time, and so it's a great, they work alongside, so the action that we are going to be taking as a church and the book of Acts, they go alongside each other rather nicely, it's also, most importantly, it is a continuation of God's story that we are a part of now. Most importantly, that is the most essential thing, right? There are many lessons for us to grow in living for Jesus and his church and being full of his Holy Spirit. And so best thing to do is to dive in. And so hopefully you'll find that in a moment. But before we do, I just want to set the scene for you, give you a whistle-stop tour, if you will, of the whole book. And a good way to think of this is season 2 of a TV series. So if you think of your favorite TV series, when a season begins, they often start with like a previously on moment. So my favorite was 24. So you would have Jack Bauer going previously on 24, and then you deep doop deep. For those of 24 fans, you'll be like, yeah. Those who, probably students are like, what the heck are you talking about? But that is what Luke, the person who has written Acts, that is what is how he is writing at the beginning of Acts. You could say that Acts is season 2 of Luke's TV show, The Christ, if you want. Like, that's not what it is, but I'm giving you an analogy, right? So it's a follow-on from the Gospel of Luke. So the Gospel of Luke, and then you have Acts. It's like they're part of the same TV show, and Luke is season 1, and then we go to Acts, which is season 2. And so we are now in season 2. So if you've not read Luke, go and read it, enjoy it, and you'll see links between the two as we go through as well. They're definitely worth reading together. And you may be here this morning, and you may be unsure of who Jesus is. You may be thinking, oh, is Jesus really all he's cracked up to be? Is he really that? Maybe you think he's a loony. Maybe you think he is a liar, that everyone in the church, they've just fallen foul of who this guy is. He has tricked them into this. They're just so silly. You may be thinking he is a liar or a loony or both. However, Luke, in his previous book, in the Gospel of Luke, he doesn't seem to point to these options. He doesn't seem to point to that. He instead would point to Jesus being Lord. He would say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. And maybe you have begun to think, whilst you may have come to Grace Church a little bit, And you might have begun to think that maybe, just maybe, Jesus could be Lord. Maybe he could be the king that he says he is. Those claims that he makes, maybe they are true. Many during Luke's day, they would have thought similar to us. They would have thought loony, liar, or Lord. And this could be why Luke begins season two the way he does in verses 1-3. We'll just read 1-3 for a moment. He says this, in my former book, so the book of Luke, right? Theophilus, again, the person he wrote to, just a side note, names mean something. So Theophilus was a real bloke, but his name means loved by God. And so in my former book, those who were loved by God, so he's, you can see who he's writing to. It's very, very interesting. Anyway, that's just a side note, totally off script, sorry. So in my former book, previously on, all right, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus had begun to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So that was previously on season one. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And so Luke anticipates, he is anticipating that some have got doubts about Jesus. And you may have doubts about Jesus this morning. And this is really important. He anticipates that some might have doubts about Jesus, and that's why he mentions about having convincing proofs. So I'm not going to go into those proofs today. All right, we did a bit at the Christmas service. You can go back and listen to that. You can read Luke for yourself. And I'm not going into that this morning. You could even do 3-2-1. All right, 3-2-1 is a great way. It's an app that you can download and you can ask your questions about God. You can you can explore the claims that Jesus makes. Is he loony, Lord, or liar? You can do that. And you can check the proofs for yourself. You could read Luke as well. So why am I doing this plug for 3-2-1? Because Acts isn't just a continuation of God's story. It is that, but it is also a book about action. It's a book about action. When we make Jesus king of our lives, then the outcome is that we do something about it. Hence its name, Acts. It's often called Acts of the Apostles. That's what often it's referred to. If maybe in your Bible, if you look at the title of it, it's got Acts of the Apostles, which means like the great deeds of the early church leaders. But some clever commentators, commentators on the Bible, they love to argue, and they say that it puts too much emphasis on the person, on the people, and not enough on God. So they think it's better to say maybe the Acts of the Holy Spirit should be the correct title. After all, the Holy Spirit is the one that does all the work. Why am I talking about the title of the book? Well, although the title is kind of irrelevant, what's clear is that this book is about movement. It's about action. It's about deeds. And it's about things being done by the Holy Spirit through God's church, through the people, through humanity, and as a response to the person of Christ. So as we go through Acts, we'll let it speak for itself. But one takeaway that I want you to take away as we preach this series is that it's a story of God's people on the move, God's people empowered by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. It's a bit wordy, but I think this is the best title that you could give for the book of Acts, and it is this. It's by John Stott. He says, Acts, the continuing words and deeds of Christ by his Holy Spirit through his church. So if you were to think, what is Acts all about? What's it all pointing to? It's that. It's the continuing work of Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit and through his church. That's what this series is all about. That's what we're going to be drumming on about all the time. And so it's worth keeping that in mind. However, I'm just going to refer to it as Acts as we go through. But it's really important to keep that we'll keep it simple, but it's It's about action in Christ and his people. And it's important just to touch on those areas so that we've got it in mind as we explore this wonderful book. But let's read. And I'm going to pray before we read. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to us today, that he encourages us. Had a great time of just singing together and worshiping together. And I just feel that God wants to, through his Holy Spirit, work as we open his word, as we preach his word. So God, I just pray as we read, as we explore, as we dive in, Holy Spirit, reveal your heart for us. Reveal your hand in our lives. Reveal your work in our lives. I pray, Holy Spirit, speak to people this morning. I pray, use me, Lord, not for my own sake, but so that people will hear your gospel. I pray your gospel will be seen and heard and demonstrated by us as your church, because your Holy Spirit awakens us to you. Reveal yourself, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's read verses 1. We're going to go from 1 to 12 today. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them in a period over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round and they asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up. Jesus flying. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes. He's trying to prove to them again. And a cloud hid him from sight. They were looking intently up at the sky as he was flying, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem. They did what Jesus had called them to do. From the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. We're not going to read verses 13 to 26, but that's a moment thereafter that they obey Jesus, that they wholeheartedly are in worship for him. They gather and they choose somebody to replace Judas. So Judas was the disciple that betrayed Jesus. He's died. And they need another disciple because they want to. This is more to do with the Old Testament, the 12 tribes. That's why there were 12 disciples, but we're not going to get into that. Sorry about that side note. So we hear this story. We hear this. Season 2 has just begun. Season 2, previously on. Like every great TV show, whether it's 24 to The Traitors, right, it starts a new season by reminding you of what's happened previously, but also it's setting up what's to come. And so that's exactly what Acts 1 and 2, so what we'll read next week is Acts 2, they're both introductions. They're reminding you of what's happened previously, but they're also setting up on what's to come. And we're going to focus primarily on chapter 1 this morning. So as Luke sets up season 2, he recaps and previews two things. Two things I want us to touch on this morning. Firstly, King Jesus' instruction, and then King Jesus' ascension. So firstly, we're going to focus on the king's instruction. Jesus' followers know him to be the king promised from the time of David because all that happened in Luke. And now he is preparing them for the next big step in God's plan by giving them an instruction. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down what this instruction is, and then we're going to say, what does that mean for us? So what's this instruction about, and then what does this mean for us? So let's just look again at verses 4 to 8. Right, Jesus, he's having a meal. Notice, this guy who has died has come to life, and now he is munching on some food. That's weird, all right? A bloke who's supposed to be dead, he's now chomping down some bread, probably. And then he says to them, this is what he says to them. He says, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift my Father promised, the Holy Spirit. This is Luke saying, spoiler alert, this is going to happen in chapter 2. He's previewing chapter 2. He's setting up what's going to happen in season 2, and we're going to see it in chapter 2, and we'll focus on that next week. But then the disciples, they're a bit slow. They're a little slow. And so they say to him, and they totally miss the mark on what he has just told them, all right? They totally miss the mark on his kingship instruction, the instruction he has given them. And they say, Lord, is now the time that you're going to restore Israel? They've totally missed the point of what Jesus is saying here. They've got the wrong perspective. They think he is new King David. They think that he is now going to get a throne and that Israel is going to become this superpower that's going to rule and reign, and that's what the kingdom of God looks like. And Jesus is like, no. That's not the plan. That's not my plan. You've missed the mark. And so Jesus replies and he reminds them again of the instruction that he gave just a second ago. He says, don't worry about my kingship, right? That's for me, right? Instead, he instructs them again. He says, this is the thing you need to worry about, right? This is the thing you need to worry about. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, a reminder of the instruction, and you will be my witnesses everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and all the way to the ends of the earth, right? Just a side note, verse 8 is very much a preview of the rest of Acts. So when he says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, he's like, well, that's chapters 1 to 7. And then the spreading to Judea and Samaria, that's chapters 8 to 11. And then it's going to go global in chapters 12 to 28. So Jesus, that's a sneak peek in what season 2 is all about. And so that's King Jesus' instructions to the disciples, that they need to be filled with the power of God and they are to be his witnesses. And you're probably thinking, well, that's vaguely interesting, but so what? What does that mean? Well, look at this. When he's instructing his people in chapter 1, we see three things. Firstly, we see sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes we need to wait. We mentioned that Acts is a book of action, which is true. However, there are moments when action involves waiting in Jerusalem. Sometimes we sit tight. Sometimes we are praying in our rooms quietly and just plodding as Christians. We do the plod. Being faithful. God's calling us just to be faithful to him, faithful to his word. Faithful to what he is calling us to do, being faithful in the Christian plot, praying Habakkuk prayers to help refocus our faith. Sometimes, we see from his instruction that sometimes we miss the mark. We miss what God is calling us to. We can misunderstand what God is saying, or we can put our preferences, what we would prefer, we would put that above God's plan, like the disciples do in verses 6 and 7. Here's one way that we can really miss the mark. When you feel like God's told me to step away from the church. God said, it's not right for me to be here. I feel it's best that I give church a break at the moment. I would say that this is not God's plan and you have missed the mark. Hebrews 12, do not stop meeting together. Verse 8, be my witnesses. That's a plural, it's not singular. We are to together be his people. Just like the disciples, sometimes we can let our preferences get in the way of what his instruction is in our life. But praise God, he is gracious when we are waiting, when we are missing the mark. Jesus' his instruction is about being filled with his Holy Spirit to tell others about him. So sometimes we wait, sometimes we miss the mark, but we always need his power. We always need the presence of God. We always need to come to Him, refocus ourselves on Him. As I said earlier, Acts is about action. Following the Christ instruction is not theoretical. It's not theoretical. We make Christianity, we make our walk with God about this theory we've got to have. We've got to know this. I've got to understand this. And that's helpful. Knowledge just leads us to a greater knowledge of Christ is wonderful, but it's experiential. It's about what we do. Christianity is not some theory that we can read lots of books about. It's helpful to get the knowledge of an understanding of God, but it's action. Christianity is not theory. It's about a lived physical experience where we are walking side by side next to each other, but also side by side with the Holy Spirit. There is action in what we do in our Christian walk. If you struggle to be Jesus' witness, hear this. Sometimes you need to wait. Sometimes you will miss the mark and you'll think God said this and He has not said that. Sometimes that happens, but you will always, every single one of us, every single Christian in this room, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at God's power and how it works next week. So that's like a little teaser for you, a little preview. However, this week is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is vital for the Christian. It is vital. We need God to be a witness for Him in Bognor. We need God in our lives, the Holy Spirit in our lives, to keep us attending church when we think it's best to step away. We need God to help us wait well. We need God to avoid mishearing what He's saying. We need to read His Word. We need to hear the Word of God preached. So important. We need God to step forward in our faith, to help us handle the lies of the world which say, you are God. The truth of the matter is, we can only continue as Grace Church in Bognor. We can only continue as a church in Bognor. We can only mature as Christians, and we can only share our faith when we are full of His Holy Spirit, when we trust and know the one who gives the instruction to be His witnesses. The more that we think that we can build our own faith, and the more that we think that we can do church on our own, the more that we think that we can bring people to Jesus because we've got these clever arguments rather than the Holy Spirit, the more that we are going to build churches, faith, and Christians who have no Jesus. The more we are going to build churches and faith and Christians without Jesus. As we venture through this series, we must not rush away from our need for God's power and our lack of power. We need to follow His instruction. We need to make disciples through His power. Having received their instructions, the disciples then witnessed something rather extraordinary. In verses 9 to 11, they witnessed this. After He said this, so after He'd given them an instruction, He was taken before their eyes. This is a way of Luke writing to demonstrate to the doubters that this is a physical and public moment in history. He's just trying to make that really clear. After He said this, He was taken before their eyes, and a cloud hid Him from sight. They were looking intently up at the sky, and He was as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Imagine this, right? You're eating with Jesus, drinking with Jesus, having a nice meal together, and he says some instructions, and then he tells you you're wrong, and then he just finishes off his little bit of bread, probably bread, his little bread roll, whatever he's eating, and he just starts flying. He's just flying upwards, and then as he's flying, he starts to disappear because you've got like all the clouds outside just covering him. And as he just kept flying, like as he just kept going and going, like when did he stop? Where did he go to? He's just gone past Mars, and now he's on to Jupiter next. No, he is in heaven, ruling and reigning. That's where he's gone. All right, just to clarify, all right, that's where he's gone. Right, but we need to be aware the ascension. This moment when Jesus leaves earth, the ascension, Okay, it wasn't just an awe-inspiring event. It was a defining moment for the disciples. We often jump to chapter 2, and it's just the power received at Pentecost. That's the moment that propels the disciples to go and preach the gospel and to be all sold out for Jesus. However, when we look at verses 11 and 12, the bit that we didn't read today, we see the impact of this moment on the disciples. This was revolutionary. This was totally different. Without this moment in verse 9, the rest of Acts does not exist. Pentecost would not be the moment that it was. But here's where it gets personal for us. Notice the angel in verse 11, right? Some commentators would say that the angels are Moses and Elijah. It's kind of irrelevant. The question is interesting. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? What do you mean, why am I standing here looking into the sky? This guy who's just been munching on some bread, he's just gone flying. And you're flying. Why is everyone flying? This isn't okay, right? I'm joking aside, right? The angels, they are not bothered about where they're looking. It is important for us to have a heaven-bound perspective. What they're bothered by is their inactivity. I want to hammer this point home today. Acts isn't just a story. It's the continuing words and deeds of Jesus by his Holy Spirit through his church. I ask a question in love this morning, and it's this. Church, where are we standing around for God? Where are you just gazing and staring into space? Gina's prophetic word just really resonated when she brought it about the church family needing to be sharpened. I feel that this is a sharpening moment, that there is some twisting and some turning and some heating up that needs to happen within our church. And so I ask this question, where are we standing around for God? Right, there is about 120-ish people in the kids' work in this room. So in this building, there's about 120-ish people. There's nearly, in the wider Bognor area, 60,000 people. There is work for Christians in Bognor to do. Even if you say, well, some of them go to other churches. Yeah, fine. It's probably still about 55,000 at least. If Jesus is king, and if his message of the gospel is true, we need to be doing something about it. And we might go, oh, but we had loads of people at our carol service. Yes, 210 people. Praise the Lord. I give God thanks for that. There are 68,000 people in Bognor area. What are we doing? What are we doing? Let me drill this down onto a personal level a little bit more. What are you doing to make Jesus king of your life? This is where it heats up. This is where it's twisting. This is where it's like, oh, a bit uncomfortable. What are you doing for Jesus? Where are you settling for just looking in the sky? Yeah, I'm a Christian. It's good, isn't it? He's gonna come. He's going to come back in a minute. Just wait. He's coming back. Where are we settling for just standing around, looking in the sky? I'm just coming to church on a Sunday morning, and that's all that Jesus is going to get of my life and my time. I'm going to pray me. Tell my friends about Jesus. No. I'm going to wait. He's coming. He's coming. I'm really going to focus on him. Coming back. He's coming. Where are you settling for just looking at the sky? What sin in your life are you okay with? What sin in your life are you just saying, I don't need to sort that. God's grace is enough. Where do you need to step up in your faith? Where is it that you need to step up in serving God's church and giving to God's church and being different to your non-Christian friends? How different are you to your non-Christian friends? Where do you need to dive into God more? Where do you need to join a grace group and just have relationship and share life with one another more? Where do you need to develop relationships with other Christians in Grace Church? And you think, oh, you're sounding a bit harsh. Matthew 16, this is what Jesus said to his disciples. You want to be my disciple? Pick up your cross and follow me. when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, for the whole realm of nature was mine, I'll have an offering far too small. This demands my life, my all. We sang it. You sang it this morning. What are we doing? We need to get, we will never see 60,000 people in Bognor Regis come to Jesus if we are not doing anything about it. It will not make one bit of difference, though, unless Jesus is at the center of our faith and at the center of our church and at the center of our lives. Jesus' instruction and his ascension go together. They're not separate. We need his power. We need to be people of action, but we need his power. If you're a Christian this morning, my call is this to you. Are you taking Jesus seriously? What are you doing? Are you standing around? Am I following Jesus' instruction and believing his power rather than my own? If you're not a Christian this morning, or you're questioning, I'd ask you to investigate the nature of Jesus. Go check out season one. Luke was a doctor. He's not a fool. He followed the science. He followed the claims, and he found Jesus' claims to be true. Why not investigate if Jesus really is the king that he says he is? Just as it was for the disciples, so it is for us. We live in this time where we are waiting for Jesus to come back. We do look at the sky on occasions. We live in an inter-Advent time. We live in the now and the not yet. And we have some witnessing to do. We are not as well-read as the disciples of the about the Old Testament, and they would have understood. So people reading Acts, reading Jesus' ascension, they would know that Luke is describing something, the link to clouds, the kingship nature. They would have made these little connections to the Old Testament, and they would have had their minds go straight to Daniel 7. This is what Daniel 7 says. Look at the correlation between Jesus' ascension and Daniel 7. I looked, and there before me, what Jesus described as so often, the Son of Man, coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. He approached the Father and was led into his presence. Where is Jesus now? What's Jesus doing right now? Here's our answer. He is given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every nation worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. He's not building an empire like Israel, like the disciples said. It's not going to pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's who King Jesus is. That's who we are serving. That's who is giving us all the power that we need to carry on as Christians in this world. This verse is helpful at reminding us that our response is of action, that our response is worship and prayerful action. That is our response. Question: that is the response of every single preach we're going to be having during this series. We are to be worshippers in prayerful action. That's what we're called to be, because Jesus is King. He is ruling and reigning, and he has power and authority that we cannot fathom. And one day, as it says, all will see. Every language and tongue will see him and know him and glorify him. That's who he is. So as we read Acts and we follow Jesus today, prayer and worship allows us to experience the life of heaven on earth. What a privilege. Now that's a privilege for us as Christians, that we can experience life of heaven on earth. And we can figure out what it means to live under his lordship in a world which has many competing claims. Many that say, no, this is God, or that is God, or you are God. Loads of authorities. Jesus is King. Jesus won't return just by us staring at the sky. He will return when he is ready, in his own time. And we have no idea when that is going to be. In the meantime, what we do is we live obedient, worship-filled, action-packed lives. That is the call of us. That's the call on us as a Christian. That's the call of us as we study Acts together. So we're going to, the worship team are going to come up. We've got a bit of time, which is great, to sing again. So why don't we stand? And I want us to pray as well. I feel that this morning there are people in the room and you're listening and you're like, well, it's not a very grace-filled message. It's not very, like, oh, I've got to do. It's not really full of grace. It's not really very kind. Like, does it really matter? And I just feel that this morning that Jesus wants to empower us for mission because of his grace. His grace is the reason, it is the fuel, it is the source of power that enables us to be able to experience his Holy Spirit and live out everything we have for him. And so, I'm going to pray for all of us, myself included. I do not live for Jesus enough. All of us do not live for Jesus enough. And so I just want to pray for us, and then we're gonna sing. We're going to give God the glory. We're going to worship him. So prayerful action and worship. That's what we're going to do. So let me pray for us. Let me pray. And why don't you, you may need to ready your heart. I'm just going to give you a moment, actually. I just feel that, give you a moment to ready your own heart. Ready your heart with God. Ask God to soften your heart. Maybe ask him to bring to mind where you're just standing around. Because we're all standing around in somewhere in our life. Is it service? Is it action? Is it evangelism? Is it worship? Is it your prayer life? Is it your time spent with God? Where are you standing around? Pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I pray that in this room, you just envision us as your church, as your people. I pray, God, that you awaken us to just the call of God on our lives. Pray, Holy Spirit, come and create in us the obedient hearts. God, we're so sorry. So sorry where we are disobedient, where we think sin doesn't matter, where we think being different to the world doesn't matter, where we think church doesn't matter. God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Holy Spirit, come and just ready us, ready our hearts. Check ourselves. Let me just ask, will you, Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your power, with your presence right now. You come and fill us with your presence so we can be on mission for you. Fill us with your presence that we will take up our cross and follow you. God, we want to be on mission for you. God, will you save the people of Bognor?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, will you use us as your church to bring people to know you?
Yeah.
Not just building us in number. God, we want to build deep wells within us. Holy Spirit, will you grow our church so deeply into you? that we will be so overwhelmed by your gospel, that we will be so different because your gospel is advancing, because we want to see people come to know Jesus. Will we be a church sold out for Jesus? Will we be a church sold out for just wanting to serve God in any way possible because we love you so much? Yeah. Lord, I pray for us to be just so overwhelmed by your presence, by the understanding of your gospel, the reminder that Luke gives at the start of Acts of your gospel. Remind us of the gospel. Remind us of when we survey the wondrous cross, that we will be people that say, there's nothing in this world that is enough to say thank you, God. That we will give our lives in thanks and worship for you. Will you, Jesus, take center stage of our life? Will we not settle for just coming to church on a Sunday and saying, oh, that's church? Will we be a people that want to meet and gather and seek your word and dive into the gospel and want to dive into prayer because we're so in love with Jesus? Will you overwhelm us right now, Holy Spirit, to be awakened to something new and fresh? I pray that you will do something we've not seen in our day. We pray for revival in our church. Why don't you start to pray for the people of Bognor? I just feel stirred for us as a church. Why don't you pray? Take our eyes off ourselves and start to pray for this town. Start to pray for people you know. Start to pray. Start to lift your voice. Start to call on him. Oh God, will you come? Will you come in this town as there's waves battering the seashore? Will your waves of the Holy Spirit come and transform this town? Will people in Eastergate and know you? Will people in Burstead know you? Will people in Feltham know you? Will people in Aldwick know you? Will people in central Bognor by the Esplanade, will they know you? Will people in this town come pouring into this church because they want to know more about Jesus? Will you do it, God? Will you bring revival on this town? Yeah. Will you transform this place? We pray. Yeah. Will you pour your spirit out on Bognor? Let's not stop praying. Let's keep praying. Lift your voice. Start to ask him again. Even repeat prayers if you want. Just start to ask him, God, will you come and move in this town? Will you come and bring people to yourself? Will you use us? I pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come and move. Come and work. Come and shape this town to be a gospel center. Will it have a gospel center to it? Will the king return to the Regis, we pray? Will you come, O God, and shake up this town and bring revival, we pray? We pray big prayers because we want to see you move. We want to see you shake up this town. Will you use it, I pray? Use us. Use our church. Lord, will we not be settling for just mediocre Christianity, but we will settle for action-packed, faith-filled, prayer-filled lives. We settle not anything less than seeing the gospel move through us. Will you do it, I pray, in your name. Amen.